Technorama episode 536, Levity in My Brevity.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I am here to say something witty and or smart.
Over there, in the media corner.
He said.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Okay, something's up because Craig was not muted as he was laughing. You're going to have to watch yourself for the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, something okay. About new Skype. We downloaded the new Skype unintentionally. And now, yeah, I can't mute Craig. So this will be fun.
I'm sorry. I was laughing because I realized there was nothing in the media corner bit. And right. I was like, I typed it in literally.
That is a clear last minute ditch right there. That's how Technorama goes. Chicken wire. I mean, poultry fencing and baling twine and duct tape. Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted, and I emphasize that, lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, hey, welcome to Technorama. We appreciate it very much. If you are returning, welcome back. And we also appreciate you giving us your time once again. My name is Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you?
I'm great, man.
I'm coming.
And if I keep saying it, I'm gonna convince myself.
Wait, I'm coming to you from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and Craig is
in hot and sweaty South Carolina.
Oh darn! You sure you don't want to move out here yet?
No, I can't leave the green, man. There's way too much green.
I know someone who's got another house for sale soon.
Is it another podcaster that you know?
Before we continue, I want to give a huge thank you to Gilbert Fraga for the generous donation in our PayPal tip jar. That was very well appreciated. Wow, that was nice of him to contribute to the show. We'll give you information later on how you can do that. But this is a one-time thing. I almost forgot our PayPal tip jar was there.
Hey, well, apparently it works too.
It still works. That's right. Thank you very much. In fact, I thought it was going to be one of those where you got a donation, and then a little while later you say, your donation's been recalled.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It was another podcast I was looking for.
Someone hacked Gilbert's account again.
Yeah. Thank you, Gilbert. We appreciate it.
Very much so. And in other security news, I changed my Amazon password. Guess how long I've had the same Amazon password?
Since you started?
Pretty much, 2005.
Oh my gosh, you just now started it, or changed it?
Yes.
Wow.
And it was also in use by my wife and two daughters. We all log into the same account, which is, you know, asking for trouble in itself.
On Facebook?
What? Amazon on Facebook? What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you say Amazon?
Amazon.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought for some reason I thought you said Facebook. Maybe it's just because I was looking at the word Facebook right here.
I know the issue with your audio. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
It's Skype. It's coming in through the same channel as the audio effects. So it's going out the headphone jack. Let me look. Okay. I hate to do this to you in real time.
Not to do it.
Wonderful
right
listener. The microphone is fine. Speakers are wrong. Now give it a try. Oh yeah, way better.
Okay, I'm better.
It sounds like you just moved into the same room. It's coming in the Skype channel instead of the the audio. When I do things like this, that's coming out the headphone jack. Yeah.
Hey, put that thing away.
All right.
Not during the show.
The audio, the sound effects are coming out the headphone jack on that iMac. But Skype goes in and out of the USB connection. So when I muted you, I was muting, it muted the Skype connection, which you weren't on. You were coming in a different channel. Skype upgrades. Gotta love them.
Yeah.
All right. We posed this question to you last week on Facebook. We said, what fictional place would you most like to visit? And we got a lot of responses.
Yeah. Apparently we picked the right nerve.
Yeah. Pick. Let's see if we can pick another one this week. Kevin says, I dream about this place called Vacation. John Clifford wants...
It's a fictional place.
John Clifford wants to join the Serenity Verse. I'm not so sure about that one.
Personally, I like just observing it.
Yeah, that's right. Tiffany Mangan, friend of the show, says cartoon version of the Hawaiian Islands. I'm not sure I want to go to cartoon anything. Well, I guess you could get smashed by an anvil and just get up and walk away.
Well, I started to say I wanted to go to the cartoon side of the city from Roger Rabbit. That would be cool.
For a while. Yeah. Kristen, Donna's nephew's wife, says the fairy village in Lord of the Rings and Hogwarts and Burke, the dragon village from How to Train Your Dragon. That's more than one fictional place, but that's a lot of cool stuff.
You have to take the train and go around those places.
We have an article later about Hogwarts that I think you'll like. Diane right. Mackey says Camelot. Ellen says Pixie Hollow. Jack. Jack Jaffe, friend of the show, says America. That's a fictional place he'd like to go.
I've heard about it once.
He's got several laughing emoji and one sad face.
Yeah.
Myron Dupler, longtime listener, says the TARDIS. You know, that would be a fun place to go because then you could go just about anywhere else.
And the pool.
Gary Lindrow says Star Trek Universe 23rd or 24th century. To okay. which Melissa A. Bartell replies, I second that, TNG era. Mike Wills said I second that, and Melissa says the third.
Yep.
Jonathan Strickland, friend of the show, also host of Tech Stuff. I recommend that show highly. I think I'm finally all caught up after months and months of backlog. He says, England, I've been told it's just a conspiracy amongst cartographers.
Right.
Wait for it. There's a punchline coming up to this. Kelly says, the forest with unicorns in Legend. And Rick says, Asgard. Would you want to go to Not now.
Maybe.
Spoiler alert if you haven't caught up on Ragnarok.
Yeah, an earlier period maybe, but not now.
Charlotte Kennedy says Hogwarts. Jack Gavin says Rivendell. I'd go to Rivendell for a short time. You know, we're not saying you got to live in one of these for the rest of your life, but that would be a fun place to visit. I think that'd be beautiful and serene.
If I'm not mistaken, the Hobbits, when they first stopped there on their way out, they kind of got not mesmerized, but they kind of stayed there for a lot longer than you thought. Then in the movie, you know, they stay there for almost like several seasons.
Well, you know what? The elves left, so you should be able to get some good rates.
Right.
They're having a closeout sale on Rivendell.
Yeah, the land here is cheap.
Terry Dawson says Barsoom, Scott Tyler, Farron, and the Forgotten Realms.
Okay.
James from work says Magrathea. Craig also says, Craig, say Rivendell. I've been told it's also just a conspiracy among cartographers.
Right.
To which he winks to Jonathan Strickland, and Jonathan does not reply.
I know, right?
Man. Digital Dan Hook wants to go to the world from Scott Sigler's The Rider. And that got me thinking about other Sigler verses, too. GFL would be kind of fun. Mike Hickerson says the TARDIS. Crazy Joe Fiore wants to go to Risa. I think that one in the head. Yep. My sister says King Arthur and Camelot. Clinton Alvord, good friend of the show from Comedy Forecast. And the topic is Trek. And the topic is Trek.com. Sorry, right. I got to get my touch back.
Right.
Greendale Community College. After all, I'm already accepted.
I knew he would say that.
At first, I thought he said Riverdale.
No.
He wants to go to Archie Land.
Archie Land.
April A. Bear, former cast member and host of the Star Trek Experience in Vegas, says, Vulcan, it's still there, right?
Depends on which universe which dimension, verse you're talking about.
Dale says, a place with my wife and not my kids. I think it was on Alderaan. Greg Steiner also wants to go to Risa. Sarah Helwig wants to go to the Shire. The Shire would be cool. And you can go there. There is a place in New Zealand. They've reestablished it. And my sister then gives me crap about, Chuck, where do you want to go? I was trying to think of something that wasn't already on the list.
The Fortress of Solitude?
Well, yeah, the bathroom with no cats.
The bathroom in the Fortress of Solitude.
Fortress of Solitude is a bit cold this time of year, but it's cold about any time of year, isn't it?
Oh, no. Lois and Superman, they seemed like they were okay. Even Lex Luthor, when he was there, it seemed like he was all right.
You can see your breath. It's too cold for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to think about this one. Maybe something will come up when we read through our stories, and I'll go, that's it. That's where I want to go. These ideas always come to me when I'm not thinking of them.
When
I'm not doing a podcast.
All right.
I mean, I threw out a couple ideas, some of Sigler verses. Should we do the history thing?
Okay, brace yourself, kids.
Yeah, okay, here we go. On this day in history for June 27, 2018, this is the 178th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 187 days. Wow, that's kind of like a word scramble on numbers right there.
Yeah.
178 and 187 remaining in 2018. It was on this date in 1895 that the inaugural run of the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad's Royal Blue, you know Baltimore and Ohio from B&O Railroad on Monopoly, right?
That's true. Yeah.
They ran the Royal Blue from Washington, D.C. to New York City, the first U.S. passenger train to use electric locomotives.
That's impressive. And it was also on this date in 1898 that the first solo circumnavigation of the globe is completed by Joshua Slocum and from Briar Island, Nova Scotia.
Maybe I want to go to Krypton.
Not now.
Before it blew, yeah, not now.
I think they got the same thing in common with Vulcan. No.
On June 27, 1971, it's going to go like that all through the show, I can tell you. Yeah. I'm just going to get random ideas. After only 3 years in business, rock promoter Billy Graham closes Fillmore East in New York, a.k.a. the Church of Rock and Roll.
That would be Bill Graham. That would be Bill Graham, not Billy Graham. Close, though. Anyway, 36 years ago today, the Space Shuttle Columbia launched from Kennedy Space Center on the final research and development flight mission, STS-4.
Four. How many do they have? Like 120-something?
It was like 136.
Wow. Okay, that was four. 36 years ago. It was 5 years ago today that NASA launches the Interface Regioning Image Spectrograph. I sense an acronym coming up. IRIS, a space probe to observe the sun. Don't look directly at the sun. Happy birthday goes out in the state to French astronomer and academic Alexis Bouvard, born on this date in 1767.
And Augustus de Morgan, the English mathematician and logician.
Logician.
Logician? I kept trying to read that like a magician.
Log jam.
Was born 212 years ago today.
You know what de Morgan is famous for. Come on. You're a programmer. You should know this.
De Morgan. What? No.
De Morgan's theorem.
Oh,
of
course.
If you want to invert a Boolean equation, you need to change the operator and you negate each of the components. So A and B is the same as not A or not B. That's the negative of it. I mean, not the same. It's the negative of it. Anyway, going on. Paul Mauser, German weapons designer, designed the Gewehr 98, or whatever 98 is in German.
98?
It was, God. That hurt. It was born on that same date in 1838.
And born June 27th, 1872, American astronomer Herbert Doest. Sir Curtis, excuse me.
Close enough. We got the Curtis right.
Yeah.
Helen Keller, American author, academic, and activist, was born on the same date in 1880.
And Juan Trippe, the American... I was messing with you. The American businessman, founded Pan American World Airways, was born 119 years ago today.
Wow. Pan Am. There's an airline we haven't heard of in a while.
Yep.
American pool player Willie Moscone was born 105 years ago today. Do you remember watching, like, Willie Moscone pool matches in his later years?
Is he the one that would do, like, the trick shots and stuff?
Willie Moscone and Minnesota Fats. Those are the only two legacy ones I remember. Anyway.
Yeah.
Who's next?
An American businessman and politician, Ross Perot, born on this date in 1930.
And what do you think of when you think of Ross Perot? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
His political ads with the charts.
Can I right? go? Can I go?
What?
How would you like to be known for a catchphrase like that? Can I go?
Oh, can I go? Oh.
Also turning 81 today is American physicist and astronaut Joseph P. Allen.
An American director, producer, screenwriter, J.J. Abrams, was born on this date in 1966.
He's 52. He doesn't look 52.
He looks
pretty
good.
35.
Hey, when you got money, you can buy some good health care.
Here's another surprisingly old person. Tobey Maguire is 43 today.
Wow.
Wasn't he just like 17?
Yeah. He's like perpetually young.
Like Michael J. Fox.
Yes.
Listener birthdays include June 27th is Jordan Burkhead, daughter of Chip Burkhead from the Scotch cast. Martin McKay is on the 29th. Ah, this is the big 40. I don't believe your lie anymore. Fool me 10 or more times. Shame on me. Alexis Duran, a.k.a. AD Dude, is on the 30th. And if you want to get on the birthday calendar, you can go over to our wiki. We're just going to keep talking until the music runs out.
La, 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 la. Oh, by the way.
No, we're not singing to the music. Yes.
I was close. There was 135 missions.
I knew it was more than 117. That was like the last one that I remember, well, but it kept
going. Yeah, I said 136, but I was close.
Okie doke.
Short one.
That's the way it was on this day in history for June 27th, 2018. And I think this is our closing verse. Yep. Here we go. Just march right along the street with them. They'll throw candy at you and everything.
Open the door. Let them out.
Here comes Santa. Wait, we started something, a bad idea that way once.
Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, John Miller Jr. said his choice for fictional places he would like to visit, Cybertron. But I think Cybertron also has the same thing in common with Krypton and Vulcan. I don't know.
the Terminator universe?
No.
I'm just thinking of other things that could be thrown in there.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of cybernetics, we have a very interesting article. We found one on Gizmodo about electronic skin that allows users of prosthetic hands to feel pain. Well, that's one thing they get to feel. All they need is to be married. Current prosthetic limbs aren't yet capable of transmitting complex sensations like texture or pain to the user, but a recent breakthrough by scientists at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, in which a synthetic layer of skin on an artificial hand transmitted feelings of pain directly to the user. It takes us one step closer to that ultimate goal. As it says in the article, pain sucks, but we'd be lost without this extremely valuable sensation. No, actually, I've got a friend who's got a daughter who doesn't feel pain, and it is a world of problems.
No. I'm not making fun of that. You said, pain sucks, and you stopped and said,
that's
and
the good news. Night. Good night.
Yeah.
Quote, pain helps protect our bodies from damage by giving us a sensation that something may be harmful, such as a sharp edge of a knife. Luke Osborne, co-author of a new study and graduate student at Johns Hopkins University in the Department of Biomedical Engineering, told Gizmodo, quote, for a prosthesis, there is no concept of pain, which opens it up to the possibility of damage. We found a way to provide sensations of pain in a meaningful way to the prosthesis as well as the amputee user. Working with JHU neuroengineer Nitish Thacker, Osborne and his colleagues developed a system called eDermis. Very creative. A skin-like layer that gives prosthetic limbs the capacity to perceive touch and pain. Pressure applied to the eDermis is transmitted to the user's brain via an electric nerve simulator implanted in the arm above the prosthesis, allowing the system to emulate actual sensations. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
In tests of the E-dermis system, a volunteer amputee said he could tell the difference between objects that were rounded or sharp, saying the sensation of pain registered a 3 out of 10 in terms of severity. The study was published today in Science Robotics. I think you'd have to fine-tune this thing so that you're not picking up, your Lego bricks and going, ah!
Yeah. Or picking up a knife as you would a marble. Right. You don't want to quite do that.
Cut off my e-finger.
But that is pretty cool. I was just thinking, you said, who did you say could not feel pain?
My high school friend's daughter.
Okay,
She's actually graduating now, or graduating.
What if, is it all over her body? She cannot feel pain?
It's all over.
Because I was thinking mouth, if they had
when
something.
When she was little, she chewed on her tongue when she was teething.
Oh, no.
She scratched out one eye. She's broken her back. I mean, she's had some serious, serious injuries because you fall down or trip or something.
Or if you're in the kitchen and you touch something hot, you wouldn't know.
Right.
I understand. I was just, my point was, I wonder if you could, I don't know how you would transmit the pain or the sensation to somebody that like that, but I was thinking, what if you had a glove or something with little tips on your fingers or something like that, where you could actually feel things, you know, rather than being a prosthetic hand in this example, being a real hand, but have something on there that kind of it could transmit. But I don't know how you would
glove
get
with a bunch of wires that go into your brain.
Well, I don't know how you would get that sensation there, but I guess somehow, because they're doing it through the arm ending, I guess, where you can actually feel stuff. You know, they're piping the signal through. I don't know.
Maybe a step closer to that.
Yeah.
Should we take our break now, or you want to do two more stories?
Well, union rules say.
All right, union break.
Go for it.
Let's jump into the Hacks and Strange Stories.
Hacks and Strange Stories.
Good job. Lenny's cousin. You can take this one. You're all about the dice.
Yes, this was pretty cool. This is a clever pencil dice.
How did nobody ever think of this before?
I know, right? It's a six-sided pencil with dots that you can use to roll your own dice. And I imagine you could just do this yourself. If you had a six-sided pencil, you could just put some Sharpie marks on it.
Take a punch and punch it.
Yeah, so these pencil dice designed by Sebastian Bergny. Except he stole the idea from me. I'm quoting the article here. I knew I felt somebody poking around my desk or around my dreams. Six-sided pencil with dots on each side so they can roll them across your desk and act as dice in absence of actual dice. Clever. They cost around $3.30 a pencil.
No. I'm going to take a punch or a pen and push dots into my own pencils.
Though, at least until a bunch of other people start printing them for cheap. Okay, well, there's...
Get them on.
You don't even need to print them.
But they take 6 weeks.
Here, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't read the article, but this is the next quote. Just use a Sharpie to add dots to an existing pencil.
And sell them to your friends for a quarter.
Yeah. So, you know, if you get the 20-sided pencil, it'd be a little big, but you could do it.
It doesn't stop rolling.
It just keeps going. Yeah. Hey, what if you get one of those carpenter pencils that has like four sides?
Two sides. You'd have a D2. You just invented the D2. Of course, that would be called a coin.
Roll it. You roll it and you just go clunk. It just falls over. It's also called a coin.
Right.
So anyway, I think it's kind of neat. It would have been cool to have them if they were a little more less expensive. But yeah, it's neat.
You're right. Let's take a Sharpie. Kids, don't spend your money on these.
Yeah.
All right, we have another story here about pizzas and potholes. Because why on the earth would a city ever fix their
potholes? Your pizzas in the potholes.
Well, so I've had some pizzas that tasted like they were pothole covering.
I think they cooked these in the pothole.
Why on earth would a city ever fix potholes? Domino's has begun filling potholes to ensure a safer ride for its pizzas during delivery. Interactive road conditions versus pizza video here. I remember seeing the video before this article came out, and it was this pizza bouncing around inside the box before it gets to your house. You wonder why they look like they went through the war and lost, because they practically did. Let's see. The author wipes a tear away with a Kleenex. Domino's has been hiring work crews to repair potholes in a number of cities, including Burbank, California. Five holes fixed there. Ching. We'll give them some credit. Bartonville, Texas. 8 holes. And an impressive 40 holes in Milford, Delaware. They get 2 bells.
Yeah, there you go.
And an astounding 150 in Athens, Georgia.
Whoa. 150.
It's not entirely altruistic, of course. Domino's tags every filled pothole with their logo and the tagline, "Oh, yes, we did." Admittedly, there's nothing worse than opening a pizza to discover all the cheese and toppings are stuck to the top of the box. You have to try and scrape them back down onto the pizza. It's devastating. What will the world come to? The author says, "My girlfriend is already hesitant about introducing pizza into our romantic life, and here I am standing naked at the foot of the bed with a pizza that looks more like a lasagna."
I think we got a little too much information on that.
A Geekology really puts a lot of personality into their articles, so we're going to leave it at that. Sometimes they're not exactly...
I did have an idea.
Safe. Yes, the dangerous words come out again. I had several of them last night. Have an idea.
Yeah, so what if cities sold the naming rights to the potholes and filled them?
You might be on to something.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to see them. They go by so fast.
Then in Colorado, they can actually just have the pot dispensary do the potholes.
No, right. Yeah, no, no. Then people are going to go around and make more potholes to generate pothole revenue. And we're going to need a pothole tax.
We got rid of the whole part. Now it's just pot.
we have potholes in several states. We're not going to go there, though.
What if they did sell the naming rights to the hole that they filled? I don't know how
like they sell the bricks down, you know, when they're paving a new road or they need to generate revenues and they sell the engraved bricks.
Yeah, like down at the zoo where they have
to wear off real fast.
Okay, so we kind of work out the pricing scheme. So, you
know, it's an annual recurring revenue. You can subscribe and get it repainted once a year.
Or let it depreciate, and then they charge them less and less and less till it's gone. I think this is a
whole business scheme around bottles.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we should retitle this show.
Yeah. Potholes.
The pothole pyramid. The pyramid scheme.
I'm gonna go to jail. I'm gonna go to jail just for this kind of stuff.
Pothole Ponzi.
Yeah. Oh boy.
You see, we can't have fun by ourselves without any other co-hosts.
I know, right? Yeah, we're firing on all five cylinders tonight.
We are never firing on any cylinders. We need to take a break while we recalibrate.
We're like a 6-cylinder, and we got at least 4.5 going.
Boom.
Right.
It sounds like music I used to listen to. Let's take a quick break. We will be right back with, what do we got, the Media Corner? Do we have it to remember when? We don't ever remember when. Media Corner, Geek Library, coming up right after this. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Geek Thoughts.
Why is it I can't remember people's phone numbers, but I can remember all their MAC addresses for all their machines?
Technorama, the podcast for geeks, available at chuckchat.com.
Hold it. Where's the excitement? What about the whole lighthearted way Chuck and Craig look at the news stories?
Okay, let me try that again. Technorama, hang out with Chuck and Craig for a geek podcast like no other.
Hold up. Again, really? That's what you got? What about things like hacks and strange stories, retro stuff, and the remember when? And don't forget about the attempts to pronounce names like on this day in history. It's an hour of insanity. Come on.
Okay. How about this?
Move!
movies, TV, games, technology, science. Nobody does it like Technorama. Available at chuckchat.com.
Whoa, now I have goosebumps on my dongle.
Hi, this is Erin Gray, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Hoo-wee. Are you feeling better after that break?
I'm feeling awesome.
Have your adrenaline levels come back down?
Are we supposed to get relaxed?
Smoke them if you got them.
That's right.
We want to give a huge thank you to our patrons. Let's play that wonderful patron music.
Yeah.
Patrons rock. Patrons rock. Thank you to our patrons, Kyle Nishioka, Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic, Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, Leon, John Noble. Not that John Noble.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I missed my cue. That John Noble?
It's in there obligatory for Ben and Keith to say it while they're listening along.
Yeah.
Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Jorgis Rowan, and John Miller Jr., our latest patron. Thank you very much to all of you. You keep your favorite podcast going, and hopefully that's us.
Yeah. Yeah, don't add the qualifier. Just let them kind of figure it out.
I've got an idea rattling around in my head for another promo. It might come to that. Thank you very much. There are costs involved. And as we discovered, you can even still donate through PayPal on a monthly basis or a one-time donation. If you go over to chuckchat.com/technorama, you can see all that information, including our Patreon link, which is right there on the screen. Patreon.com/technoramapodcast. We appreciate it very much.
And apparently our PayPal one works.
It does. And what you get for Patreon is exclusive content unlike no other.
Yeah, that's the truth.
I didn't say it. Just for our Patreon people. And we've got some other stuff lined up for the end of the year that's coming. The ideas are being formulated. They just need to be executed now, along with some other things that need to be executed. But we won't go there. Thank you very much to our Patreon patrons. We greatly appreciate you. And that is the end of that segment. Ta-da! Whoop, it's not the end of the music.
Whoa! Ta-da. Hello.
I faded down, hit abort, and faded back up, and it didn't want to quit. That band just likes to rock, unlike our marching band, who knows when to quit.
We're out of here.
We have multiple musical talents in here. We have the media corner as well.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Before we get into this, I wanted to remind you that Craig and I also do another podcast called The Topic is Trek. We don't have a promo for that one yet. Still got to work on that. We do that.
We sure don't. I just realized that. Put that on the list.
We've been brewing some ideas for a while, but nothing's ever come out of that. We are also going to be at Dragon Con in Atlanta, Georgia over Labor Day weekend. What is that? The 30th, 31st, 1-2, something like that. That very first weekend in September, we'll be at Dragon Con. Hope to see you there. And Craig and Clinton and I are going, and our spouses, don't forget our spouses, they're very important to us.
Yes.
Are going on the Star Trek Cruise 3 in January of 2019. January 4th is the date of
that. Yes.
And I understand they're filling up fast. They might be full. I don't know. But if you're going there, we're also going with some other people we know. We'll be joining, not going with them particularly, but looking forward to that very, very much.
Hey, and I'll tell you, if you're interested in, I think that it's going to be a lot of fun. Jason Isaacs going to be on there. Jonathan Frakes, Gates McFadden, a lot of other people. It's going to be good.
Is there anybody you would like to see on there that isn't on there yet?
Patrick Stewart.
That would be cool.
That would be a good one.
Will Wheaton will be there.
Huh?
Will Wheaton will be there.
Will Wheaton will be there. Actually, he's the host, isn't he? He's the host of the whole thing.
The host with the most? He probably came up with the idea.
I would say, oh man, my mind's blanking.
I had somebody in mind from Discovery. And I go, Mary Wiseman would be fun to hang out with. The name Wiseman sort of sums up her whole attitude. She's a wisecracker.
Yeah, she's going to be on there. Dwight Schultz. That's what. I'm going to meet Dwight Schultz. I haven't met him before. That'd be fun.
All right.
So I would call him broccoli the whole time.
No. Just bring some broccoli.
I know another one. LeVar Burton. That'd have been good.
Oh, LeVar Burton would be fun.
He was really good. He was really nice to me at the Dragon Con 1 year. It was like on a Monday, and I went back into the Hall of Fame the Walk of Fame or whatever. And as I was leaving, I noticed there wasn't anybody at his table except for him and his handler, whoever that was in relation to him. And I just walked in and said, hey, look, I just want to tell you I'm a big fan. Thanks. And, shake his hand. And he said, well, hang out for a minute. And he sat there and asked me to talk to him for just a few minutes. So I sat there and shot the bull for him for about 10 minutes before I headed out. I just thought it was pretty cool because, they're...
Was he trying to shoot a bull? You shot the bull for him?
It was a lot of fun. It only took us 10 minutes. No, but it was a nice gesture because by Monday, I'm sure everybody's tired of shaking hands and, talking to people. So
kissing hands and shaking babies.
But he always seems like a kind person.
One of those people who appreciates his fans.
So that's the impression I get.
Let's flip from Star Trek to Star Wars.
The other Star movie
theater thing.
Yeah.
They didn't have a TV show. Well, they did have, never mind. We'll do that another time. Hey, this comes to us from Gizmodo, io9.gizmodo to be precise. When you're flying around in space where there's no air or wind resistance, aerodynamics really aren't that important. That's why Star Trek Borg ship is just a big blocky cube and still works just fine. But when your ships are visiting planets with atmospheres, aerodynamics do come into play. And apparently, neither the Rebels nor the Empire in Star Wars know the first thing about properly designing flying vehicles. YouTuber EC Henry brought 3D models of popular Star Wars ships into an application from Autodesk called Flow Design. Boy, that name sounds familiar, doesn't it, Craig?
Yeah.
That can simulate and illustrate how a vehicle moves through various mediums, like the breathable air that seems to exist on most planets in a galaxy far, far away. Well, the iconic X-Wing, which can travel through space at the speed of light, is actually far less aerodynamic than the comparatively primitive fighter jets we use here on Earth. Even worse is the Empire's TIE fighter, which is an aerodynamic disaster and would be outmaneuvered by even a Minok at any time it tried to do battle on a planet's surface, despite what movies like The Force Awakens would have you believe. And if you click through and watch this movie, it's actually pretty entertaining. He did bring in the actual models, and he was showing two different X-Wings. He was showing TIE fighters. He was showing, and he said, here's the key is the drag, right? You want these things aerodynamic to reduce drag and increase maneuverability. And he said, a cube has a drag coefficient of like 1.3 or something. And a TIE fighter was something 1.07. It wasn't all that good.
No.
The X-Wing was something akin to a sphere. It was like a 0.5. Now compare that with an F-4 fighter, which is like 0.04.
Right.
The best he could come up with, I can't remember what model it was, but it was some sleek little looking thing from the Star Wars universe that was still 10 times worse than, or maybe it was 40 times worse, something. It was as low as 0.10.
I can't imagine even the Millennium Falcon would be good in atmosphere.
No. The problem with the X-Wing, you see the diagram that we had on the screen, is that the back end is blunted. Nothing ever tapers down. I mean, a cube is terrible. A sphere is okay, but still has turbulence. And a teardrop is really, really
because the Falcon might do better because it's got a wing shape to it anyway, a little bit.
No, it doesn't.
It tapers down.
It's not an airfoil. It's
not. I didn't say it was an airfoil.
No, it's not. It's not. It has a blunt end and it's going to cause turbulence.
The Falcon?
Yeah. And think of all the protrusions and things that are on top.
I know. Oh, I know. Well, you got the whole satellite dish.
Ripped right off.
Wait, you got the satellite dishes.
The whole front end is basically blunt.
It's true.
It's not. No, that's not an aerodynamic vehicle. Probably about as good as a flying shoebox.
Give me the Delta Flyer any day. Oh, wait, that's the Star Wars.
The Galileo 7.
Actually, we've seen the Enterprise in atmosphere before.
Yeah, and look how well that went.
I say it didn't. We actually have seen it in atmosphere twice. We saw it in
Generations. It crashed. Yeah, the Enterprise D.
No, I was thinking TOS. You know, when they went back in time and they were Earth on Earth and
right,
they were
yeah.
And then of course in
Search for Spock
beyond.
When it burned up. Search for Spock when they blew it up and it crashed into the atmosphere.
No, it's just when the newer movies they were underwater actually.
Let's discuss this on our show Wednesday night.
Wednesday. Oh yeah. Yeah.
We got another topic of Trek coming up in a couple nights. Let's do let's find out what happens when AI tries to help.
Oh, great.
Your turn.
Okay. So an AI bot was forced to write Olive Garden commercial.
Forced. I like how they say that. What are they holding a gun to this thing? A static
gun? The guy's got
his
hand on the
gun?
Plug.
I've got 50 KVA and I know how to use this.
Write it or I'm going to pull the plug. The writer and comedian Keaton Patty, the man behind the AI-written Saw script, which this website Geeks Are Sexy has posted in the past, forced an AI bot. Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of the National Lampoon where they got the dog with the gun to its head.
Right.
The AI bot with the gun to its head. AI bot to watch over 1,000 hours of Olive Garden commercials and then asked it to write one from scratch.
Okay. So what do they call that? A supervised machine learning?
Yeah. Where it observes and tries to emulate.
The Olive Garden says it's not a hot dog.
So as you'll see, the end result is rather funny. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to eat a steaming plate of lasagna wings. Okay, forget that.
Let's read through the script. You want to take a part and I'll take a part or two?
Yeah, as soon as I get rid of this ad.
Okay.
there we go.
I'll play waitress and friend two. You take everything else.
Okay, so you're waitress and friend two.
Yes.
All right.
Lead us in with the intro.
All right. A group of friends laughs at a dinner table. A waitress comes to deliver what would be considered food.
Pasta nachos for you.
We see pasta nachos. They're warm and defeated. the menu is here.
Lasagna wings with extra Italy. We see the lasagna. You do the narration. I'm sorry. I screwed that up.
See the lasagna wings. There's more Italy than necessary. Your friend too.
I shall eat Italian citizens.
Whoa.
Unlimited stick.
We see unlimited stick. It is infinite. It is all.
Go ahead, friend three.
Yeah. Leave without me. I'm home.
Gluten Classico from the kitchen.
We, the Gluten Classico, we believe the waitress that it is from the kitchen. We have no reason not to believe. Friend four says nothing.
What is wrong, friend four? Friend four says nothing.
I can't scroll down. There's the ad. What is wrong, friend four? Friend four says nothing.
Friend four, what is wrong, friend four? Friend four friend smiles four. Wide.
Her mouth is full of secret soup. Announcer.
With a wet voice. What's a wet voice?
Olive Garden. When you're here, here, here. There.
For some reason, I want to make a Technorama parody of this. What happens when artificial intelligence writes a Technorama promo?
Hey, it might actually make sense.
What is wrong, friend four?
John Miller Jr. says, this commercial got dark.
We see the pasta nachos. They're warm and defeated.
I want to taste the secret soup.
We see the unlimited stick. It is infinite. It is all. The narration sells it for me. I want to go to the Olive Garden. I've been to Rome. Food is like that there.
Yeah. I want to eat Italian citizens.
Oh, let's do the Geek Library. What's our Geek Library song again? This one.
Is that it?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I was playing the drums.
Back to Geeks Are Sexy. They have a theory that Mary Poppins did go to Hogwarts at one point. If you click through the show notes and watch the video, it is kind of compelling. It said, did Mary Poppins go to Hogwarts 40 years before the world ever heard of the school? They give some compelling things like, she's got an infinite bag, just like Hermione. Mm-hmm. Pulled out of there. She does levitation. She magically transports people from a 3D world into a 2D drawing.
Like, right.
There's some sense to this.
Right.
She helps people that may have. It's like, but they said, why would she visit the Banks family?
Well, she flies.
With the help of an umbrella, and Hagrid's got an umbrella. That's sort of her magic wand.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some theory to it. It says readers were transported to Hogwarts for the first time with the release of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone in 1998. But what if the boy who lived was not our first significant magical student? With her magic bag, enchanted umbrella, cleaning spells, forgot about the cleaning spells, and the ability to transport people into paintings, Mary Poppins may have been a Hogwarts student herself. The latest episode of In Theory makes a compelling case that not only was the world's most famous nanny practically perfect in every way, she may also have been trained by the best.
And she's now living amongst the Muggles.
Right. She goes from Muggle family to Muggle family.
Yeah.
I'm buying it. I'm sold. I'm convinced. She's a witch.
And I think there should be a crossover movie.
Witches?
We burn them.
What do we burn apart from witches? More what? Witches.
Oh, yeah, more witches.
Have you forgotten the lines?
Geeks.
Don't make me play that.
Yes, I actually do want to hear that right now.
Oh, I have to find it. That was in one of our, where do we put that?
While he's looking for that, aren't you going to play it now?
Sure, why not?
All right.
It's Monty Python something, right? Monty Python. This isn't it, is it?
A geek!
A geek! We
found a geek!
A geek!
We found a geek!
We found a geek!
We found a geek, might we burn him?
Burn him!
Burn him!
How do you know he is a geek?
He looks like one!
Bring him forward.
I'm not a geek. I'm not a geek.
But you are dressed as one.
They dressed me up like
this. No.
This isn't my PDA. It's a false one.
Well,
he did have a PDA.
The PDA?
And a cell phone. But he is a geek.
Burn him! Geek!
Did you dress him up like this?
No.
Yes.
He's got a 20-sided die.
What makes you think he is a geek?
He turned me into a programmer.
A programmer?
I got better.
Burn him anyway!
Burn him!
Quiet. There are ways of telling whether he is a geek.
Are there? Where are they?
Tell me, what do you do with geeks?
Burn him!
Geek!
Burn him!
And what do you burn apart from geeks?
More geeks!
Laptops!
So, why do geeks burn?
Because they're made of laptop batteries?
Good, good.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, how do we tell whether he is made of laptop battery?
Prop up a wobbly table with him!
Ah, but can you not also prop up a table with a book?
Yeah.
Does a battery move when it's not in use?
No.
It sits still!
What also sits still?
Dead people?
The Mars rover!
LA freeways! Snails!
Bad doggies!
Children?
Internet Explorer!
Churches!
Trains!
A corporate manager?
Oh! Exactly! So logically...
If he moves as quickly as a corporate manager, he's made of laptop batteries!
And therefore...
A geek!
A geek!
A geek! A geek! A geek! A geek!
My finest Minerva McGonagall impression.
Right. That's funny.
You know, that Mars rover thing still works.
Yeah, well, the current one does.
Yeah, Curiosity just went dark.
Well, we've been doing this show for so long, we're actually referring to the first one.
I know. Yeah, that one's still standing still. But now the latest one's standing still. All right, one other video we want to point you to. We're not going to go too far into it, but you can watch a Scottish woman as she tries to ask Alexa to play Something's Cooking in the Kitchen by Dana on Spotify. Only she says Dana. And Alexa has a British accent on this. Says, I couldn't find Something's Cooking in the Kitchen by Donna. She says, not Donna, Dana. D-A-N-A.
Trying to reason with it. That's your first problem right there.
And then she says, you just hate Scottish people, you cow.
Yeah.
She keeps insulting you. Oops, I got something over your picture on the screen. I got to move my finder window. There we go.
Hey, you know what? This sounds a lot like the AI was making a script up.
And there's another one by, oh, I can't remember who it is in here. I gotta play it just a little bit. Because his name is right on the title, where he's doing the comparison of...
Oh, yeah, it's right below the article.
Yeah, he's doing a Siri speaker, he's doing Alexa, and he's doing a Google Home. And his name's at the end. What's his name? His name, he's from CNET, and I can't remember his name right now. Darn it, it was supposed to be right here on the beginning. He's one of the writers there, and he says, I apologize for being so Scottish. But it's a lot of fun. And I can see how that would be an issue. Craig, have you had any problems with Google or Siri? I've got a northern accent. You've got a southern accent. Have you had any issues?
Yeah, maybe early on. Now it's pretty good. The only problem is I've noticed when I say, hey, Google, I have to attach it. It seems like it's a little slow to respond sometimes.
Huh.
Like I say it and then it doesn't respond. I'm like, I say it again. And I guess because I'm getting a little more angry and then it responds.
I just had a thought. Do these things ever upgrade?
Yes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact,
have you received a notice that your Google Home has had a software upgrade?
Yeah, sometimes on the app it tells me
I've
that.
I've never seen any information in the last 15 months that I've had an Echo Dot that.
I take it back. I think a lot of them are silent updates.
That's a little frightening to me.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to know. Even on apps on my phone, I like to look at the change log and just say, "Hey, well, that's cool.
You
I can do this now."
The device through your phone, so I would think that. If the phone app gets an update or the device gets an update, you should be alerted through the phone app because you got to have the app on your phone to run the device. So why? Mm-hmm. Whoa, that's kind of creepy that thought of that.
There may be a setting to notify you about that.
Maybe.
But actually, I haven't tried it yet, but there is an update for the Google Home or the Google Assistant now that when I ask it, when I say, hey, Google, turn on the lamp. And it does.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a short amount of time, I think it's like 8 to 10 seconds, I can say, oh, and start playing music. And I'll have to say, hey, Google, or okay, Google again.
Yeah. So they did that on the Echo several months ago, where there's a few seconds where you can just you can chain the commands together. I'll say, Alexa, turn on the living room, turn on the backyard, turn on left bedside, and it will do those three actions in succession. I don't have to use the trigger word again and again and again.
Yeah, and I can string together in one big sentence too.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
Alrighty. Well, that takes us to the end of the show. We encourage you to
watch. Over already?
Yes, 55 minutes. What do you know? We're pretty consistent about this stuff. We know how many stories to get in. We know when we don't always know when to shut up.
That's true.
We appreciate you, miss your support. If you want to know how to get in touch with us, there are many ways. You can go and give us a call on the listener line at
707. Wait, question of the week.
Question of the week. Did I forget the question of the week? Pause.
Yes.
You're right. I was just staring right at it. Okay. Assuming money was no issue, what one feature would you want in your dream house to have? Speaking of smart home things.
I want a smart toilet.
A smart toilet? They sell smart toilets, Craig.
I know. I don't have one.
That's it. That's
mine are all dumb.
I'm not sure. I've got a studio in my house. I've got a pool. That's not in the house, but I don't think I'd want that in the house. Oh, it just says, what do you want your dream house to have?
Yeah.
About 100 more acres of land around it.
Hey, when I was a kid, I really wanted one of those intercom systems that everybody had. You know, it's like they got a stereo stuck in the wall, but there's, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I always thought those were cool, but nobody ever seemed to use them.
Yeah, in a big house, that seems like it would be an interesting feature.
Everybody. That I've ever seen one in their house. It just looked like they never used it.
My parents had one for a while too. I don't know that they ever used it. I don't even know if it even worked. That's probably half.
Well, even now, if you got, like, for example, if I had Google Homes all through the house,
right?
Anywhere I can say broadcast and I can say something and it'll go across the house. Just kind of neat.
I want to. Yeah, you could walk up to the wall just like on Star Trek, push the button, and say Kirk to bridge.
Yeah. Okay, Google, Kirk to bridge.
Now playing Kirk to bridge.
Oh wait, my phone won't shut up now.
You woke it up.
Everything's waking up.
All right, back to the music. 707-530-2428 is how you get in hold of us. Leave us a voicemail. We're pretty sure the voicemail line still works, but you're gonna have to call and find out. You can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, or find us on our website over at chuckchat.com/technorama. Something just went bling. I think the outdoor light went on. We look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, be sure to tell a friend about Technorama. And Craig, as always, will give you the salutary sign-off in binary this time.
Yeah. 101. I was trying to think, what? But okay,
I fooled you.
Well, I don't know.
That's a binary high five.
No, but I quickly recovered.